Welcome to the Carlin Light Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've got another special guest.
We have had special guests so often this year.
It's
so
unbelievable. They just keep coming out of the woodwork.
It must be, obviously, they want to be on our show. I mean, a lot of people have heard of our show, haven't they? We've got so many listeners.
Well, yeah, we can count them on two hands now.
Fabulous.
Now, Martin Harasek, who was originally born in Czechoslovakia, he's sort of involved now with the Playford Tennis Centre. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Now, first off, we'll just sort of talk a little bit about what you've done. You come out to Australia, what, 2001?
2001, yes. And I was previously born and bred into the old European, you know, football, soccer, and, you know, that didn't quite work out for me, you know, in terms of the professional level. And I've got lots of excuses to use for that, you know, injuries, et cetera, but I just wasn't probably good enough. And probably the long story short is I'm as good European-born boy, you know, I went to study and then I've done my master's in economics and finance, and then I decided life was boring and went to travel in Australia.
Well, so just over the last 5 years, you've worked with Adelaide United in the soccer and Sturt Football Club in the football. And funny enough, in that 4 or 5 years, Adelaide United won the A League, and Sturt have won a couple of SNFL flags. So you obviously have a little bit of influence.
Well, I would like to take the credit for it, but I don't think that's, you know, it's always sport is a teamwork, right? So, you know, you try to contribute, you know, in the best of your capacity, you know, when you can. But there's many people involved in that. And, you know, we all do our best, you know, to, you know, obviously for the players and athletes eventually perform on the field. So.
What have been your roles, Martin, like at Sturt Football Club at Adelaide United? What roles did you have at those clubs?
Funny enough, I'm they're completely different roles, I suppose. For the Sturt Football Club, I operate in, I work with young athletes, and we call it well-being management, which means, you know, anything that's involved, anything that makes the or helps the young athletes to perform better on the field and make decisions for life, that's essentially my job, to get it a little bit in under their skin and in their heads and help them to process things, information, because that's kind of, we want to have a very successful team, but I think the underlying message for all the young athletes, the under 18s in particular, that's 30s, and that this comes from a coaches and management, is that we want to bring up a good people, a good man as well. So, you know, my job is to help the kids to make the choices, as I said, you know, make the right decisions. You know, if they're a little bit stuck with what's going on in school or in terms of a future career, you know, they come to me essentially, and I have that support from me. And at Adelaide United, I'm essentially working with the match day operational capacity, so assist the club to run as best, I suppose, match experience for the fans. You know, this includes your corporate partnerships, it includes organizing volunteers and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm a little bit behind the scenes, you know, and you probably wouldn't see us, or you might see us running around, but we're not quite involved with the performance side of the team.
Wonderful. And so do you think there's a lot more pressure? There's a lot more things to deal with for young athletes today than there ever has been before?
Oh, 100%. Like, obviously, the competition is increasing, you know, and as the, especially, I think the Australian football code, it's got a, you know, it's probably a little bit more sophisticated in respect in Australia, if I compare to different codes. And I think that the science of development of the young athletes now, it's much more 360 as opposed to just focusing on the, you know, building muscles and the speed and that kind of stuff. But we were looking at the mental fitness and, you know, the kind of well-being in general, because that reflects on the performance and development and, you know, the way the kids actually stick to the game for a long time. So, yes.
Now, I see that this role you now have with Playford Tennis Centre, the General Manager of Operations, how did you secure that position?
Look, I've been on a lookout because, you know, for the last 5 years, you know, I've been juggling, apart from the roles you mentioned already, I've actually been working a little bit in netball with Premier League teams a little bit, and then I've been trying to help other different organisations to operate, I suppose, better organisational, you know, structural businesses, you know, because we know that sports are quite competitive and it's not always enough money in there. So I gained lots of the operational insight into you know, how the sporting organizations work. And it's not that much different to businesses, actually. And when this role came up, I put a hand up and then, you know, I applied. And then, you know, through the interview process, became clear that the operations is the main part of that job, but also the strategic thinking, it's really critical for the center, because the center is quite young and obviously, you know, it's still developing, and I think the business owners want to see it grow, and that's where my, you know, specialty comes in, I suppose.
So in your short term that you've been in the role so far, what are your goals? What do you want to achieve from the center, short term, long term?
Well, look, we obviously, you know, we're working very closely with Playford and City Council, and I think our common goal is to make the centre as busy as possible, right? And you know, the way, I think that the easiest way to get there currently, what I feel it's probably a little bit missing in a puzzle is to, we want to really send a message out there to people that we're talking, if we look at Playford City, you know, tennis centre, we're looking more, or we're talking about community tennis center, right? You know, it looks all shiny from outside. People probably drive past and they think, well, that's out of my reach. But that's not true. It's that the center is built for the community. The performance part, what people expect from it, it's actually a small part, right? We do have occasionally Pro Tour tournaments happening, etc. But that's just marginal stuff. We want to really attract people in, families, kids, etc., make a use of that center. So that's probably the biggest goal.
I was going to ask, because I was wondering what current programs, like, I live in the northern area, always have, and I as you say, I drive past the tennis center often, and to me, I think, oh, wow, that's a great facility. What actually does it get used for? And I'm thinking, is it club tennis? Is it school tennis? Is it professional tennis level? So what like the average kid living in Elizabeth area or going to school there, what activities could they access currently at the center?
Well, you know, I get this question has probably been the most frequent question over the last 4 weeks since I've been there, and it's, you know, the answer is a little bit multifaceted. You know, like, obviously you can come and use the court, you know, anytime you want, right? So, you know, you grab a parents as a kid, or, you know, parents grab a kids and come in and just do short-term court hire. Yeah,
we could come and hire a court.
To be members, yeah. Right? Just come in and do a casual hire, for example. We obviously run lots of school programs either in schools associated in that region, or schools come to us as well. So if you fortunate enough and you're part of that school, we currently have a relationship, but you might be in even in that center already for, you know, one of your school carnivals or, you know, holiday clinics. Or the other way is we run social programs for our adults as well. So if the kids are not interested at all, they're involved in different sports. Obviously, we run social leagues, you know, every night of the week, pretty much during the school terms as well. So, you know, we've got currently over 400 members, and I think it's still, you know, early days. And then they come either to play their own tennis, or, you know, they're part of a coaching programs. We've got obviously coaching program for kids as well, you know, structured as such. So, you know, there's a plenty of opportunities. Does it answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, interesting, the tennis centre in Elizabeth, the major one, was a bicentenary tennis centre up near the Lord McEwen, and that had sort of like a really good reach. It had night tennis. It was quite successful, and of course, with the changeover to where it is now on the Main North Road, there's obviously some teething problems, and it started off slow, but it's starting to build. Do you see it reaching and exceeding the previous facility at Bicentenary Centre for what it provides, and the accommodating the area that the players are both community as well as elite?
Look, obviously this is before my time, so, you know, it's a little bit hard for me to compare, but this is my job, essentially, to put that center properly on the map. And, you know, there's been some hard work done, you know, to get it off the ground. And now it's the, you know, period where we need to grow. And I think we've got a massive opportunity with, you know, lots of schools around the area. And then just, you know, get this, you know, organizations involved, obviously. And then, you know, I can foresee that this has been a great success. And we're working hard with, you know, the excellent Playford City Council on that as well. So
this might be, again, a difficult question to answer because you're new to this particular role, but tennis, there's some international sports that Australia in my mind, have done much better at than we probably should. And I would say tennis is one of them. We have a really strong tradition and history of tennis players. And even though that's faded over maybe the last 10 or 12 years, it's still a sport that captures the public's imagination. You think when the Australian Open's on, their viewing rates are massive. People are travelling to Melbourne. Where do you think tennis is right now in Australia in terms of where it sits with the average person in terms of playing and participation?
Well, as far as I know, you know, on the participant, maybe I'll start from that side. You know, from a participation point of view, actually, tennis is, I think, number two or number three, you know, just behind soccer and
netball.
Yeah. So, you know, you're absolutely right there that, you know, there's still lots of people involved, you know, even though, you know, maybe they did the most famous years, you know, seems to be in the past a little bit. But I think there's a lots of really talented juniors coming through the ranks. And if you have a look at the draw of the Australian Opens and even in, you know, smaller tournaments, you see them, you know, Alex de Minaur and, you know, John Millman, and these guys are coming through, right? So I think this is going to take, you know, maybe 2-3 years when the tennis really is going to get that profile increased again. And the reality is South Australia, it's a little bit, it's been traditionally a little bit lagging the financial support from, you know, whatever resources, you know, in that respect. But that's changed as well now, as you know, there's a bit of a reconstruction happening at the War Memorial Drive, and you've got to play for Tennis Centre. Broadview Oval is being redone to another a tennis centre, which is going to be probably top three in the state. So I think the finance is coming as well. The funding is coming through, and, you know, it's just a matter of time when we're actually going to get see that, you know, in terms of the performance and the elite, you know, outside of a sport.
Now, I just want to touch a little bit on soccer. Now, we were talking about Adelaide United when they beat Western Sydney Warriors a couple of years ago, that when they won the championship, they won 3-1. Were you at the game?
Yes.
And what did you think of the game? Compared to sort of European soccer, compared to what you grew up with, what the atmosphere with the crowd, the standard on the ground, how did you view that compared to home?
Ooh, I can get crucified for this one. Guys, I think, you know, soccer is going through the, you know, obviously a little bit of a difficult phase with, you know, the ratings and people discussing, you know, is that sport going forward or back, and there's been a bit of a background issues going on with that through that Football Federation Australia and etc. So I think you can't really compare that, you know, soccer's fairly young still in Australia compared to the history in Europe. But I think the grand final itself, you know, it's, you know, a couple of years back, but it's still quite, you know, live in my memory. And, you know, does that Adelaide Oval being the best facility for soccer? Probably most fans, even, you know, hardcore Adelaide United fans, would tell you probably not. So,
but you couldn't get 50,000 people into Highmark Stadium.
No. So, you know, that takes us almost to the next conversation. Is that a time for another facility in the city, which has been pretty, you know, obviously up to date now. But I think it was a great experience. And as I said, it's still in my memory, and then lots of the kids going to cherish that, and I'm pretty sure lots of people got motivated to get involved in that sport on a grassroots level. So, you know, that's all you can wish for. You know,
I know for myself, I was at the game, and I treasure that memory. I just reckon the atmosphere, the winning feeling and the support from the crowd was just sensational sporting event to be at. I must ask you this question in regards to soccer, because through your work with the university, et cetera, you have got an opportunity to work at Real Madrid for a couple of weeks. Tell us a little bit about that. How excited are you, and what will you be doing?
It's almost unreal. And, you know, sometimes even, you know, if because I need to tell, you know, people around me that I'm going to be away for 3 weeks, and I almost feel embarrassed to say that because people think I'm making this up. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity provided by Torrens University as a part of the, you know, MBA in sports management, that they've got a relationship with the business school of Real Madrid, that they bring the students for 2 weeks, and we get an opportunity to see the business operation of that, how they manage the brand, how they, you know, manage their community programs, facilities, and so on. So it's not all just Real Madrid or soccer club, but, you know, we're looking at different sports, basketball, and etc. So it's really exciting, and, you know, I can't wait to be on the plane.
Well, did you have one more question before we finish up?
I was just wondering, like, Real Madrid, in terms of its setup and as a business, there must be nothing in Australia that matches it.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, is that a question or statement?
Well, I'm just wondering, like, from your previous experience from living in Europe and then coming here, it's hard for us to imagine, like, we think of our AFL teams and they are big corporations and big businesses. But when you're thinking about a soccer team, or not a soccer team, but a business as such and a brand, it's just almost, I can't picture what it would actually be like. What are you expecting to find?
Yeah, well, you know, I expect that, you know, that it's a big brand, which is probably, you know, when you compare to business brands, it's probably still in top 20 of all brands in the world. So, you know, it's such a versatile branding. I think that's something that sporting clubs in Australia need to learn.
Well, we're going to have to finish off now. So finishes another Cut and Load Sports Show. Thank you very much, Martin, for coming on board. And I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.